Reading from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Let us pray. Loving God, today may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. I didn't fully grasp how big and wide the Pacific Ocean was until my wife and I moved to the United States in 2007. So we left Seoul, South Korea, and flew east all the way to Boston. That was my first time seeing the Pacific from the air, that boundless expanse of water stretching beyond the horizon, stirred not just awe, but more like a sense of fear in me. And as the hours dragged on high above the ocean, I began to realize that home was now truly far away, not in miles, but an ocean away. This memory returned to me when I listened to an NPR review of a novel by Ocean Vuong, the Vietnamese-American poet and writer. By the way, as I was writing this sermon, I heard that his second novel had selected for Oprah's book club. Anyway, when I first heard his name, Ocean, I assumed that it was a pen name. But the review said it was actually his name given by his mother. As the story goes, his mother, a Vietnamese immigrant, worked as a manicurist at a nail salon. And one day, while chatting with a customer about a place she wanted to visit, she mispronounced the word beach as the insulting word that rhymes with witch. So the customer suggested the word ocean instead. And she learned that the word refers to a body of water that connects the countries like Vietnam and the United States. And she found it so meaningful and held it close and eventually gave her son the name Ocean. I found her story tender and even sacred. There I was, stuck on the image of ocean as a barrier, something that separates. But she saw the ocean as a bridge, something that binds. Where I felt fear, she found hope. Perhaps it was her love for her son that opened a different way of seeing the ocean. And perhaps in giving her son that name, she wanted him to remember that even far from the homeland, there's something that still connects them across the distance, like the ocean, like love. The ocean in Christian tradition, especially mystical tradition, is also more than just a body of water. It's a name for God. Angelus Silesius, the 17th century German mystic, wrote, "The God is a source from which all things do rush and then return to it. An ocean, it is thus." He imagined God as the ocean of love and us as the drops of water. All of us can be merged with the ocean, becoming part of the divine. He also wrote, "The drop becomes the ocean when the ocean has reached. The soul does God become if once in God received." In this mystical vision, the ocean doesn't just connect, it enfolds us in God and in communion with all other creatures within God. If God is the ocean, I wonder, then what could Jesus be? Could Jesus be the shoreline, the place where ocean meets us, where the infinite meets the finite? Indeed, Jesus brings the ocean of divinity close enough for us to touch it and enter in. On the night he was to be betrayed, Jesus brought water, knelt to wash his disciples' feet, and let them feel the ocean depths of his love. Then he gave them a new commandment: love one another. Just as the ocean receives each drop of water unconditionally and merges with them, God loves you, and so you are to love one another, embrace, accept, and belong together. But we know how demanding it is to remain in such love. How often do we struggle to live as the beloved community? The forces of separation are growing stronger and pulling us away from the shoreline of grace, turning the ocean of love into trenches of division. And it's so easy to name those forces around us, especially this month, which is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We can immediately name one of the most enduring forces of exclusion: racism. One Saturday not long ago at our open door ministry for the unhoused, I was called by the word chink for the first time in my life. This racial slur came from someone who visits us quite often. But I was not seriously offended because I know her, and I know that sometimes she's not fully herself. But I felt deeply troubled when she used the same word toward a UT student who was an Asian American. This good-hearted student was there early in the morning to play clarinet for people. And in fact, he was born and raised in Houston. So I had to explain him about her. And he said he's totally fine. And he even came back the following Saturday to play again. And she also came back again and apologized to both of us. But I still feel terrible. The C word, she said, it not only mocked the shape of my Asian eyes, but moreover, it reduced my whole being to a mere appearance. "Go back to your country," she said and spat. And I was marked as a perpetual foreigner who didn't belong. The words of crushing otherization locked me up in such an alienated state of being and in a distant space. That day, I was an ocean away from her. And in this way, today and every day, racism carves a deep oceanic chasm in human relationships, tearing us apart. Living in this society in times like these, how can we turn our division into connection? Turn barriers into bridges. Turn our eyes to see each other again. The question arose in me, and I needed an inspiration, an illumination. In his recent interview with the New York Times, Ocean Vuong said, he experienced a moment of enlightenment in life, what Buddhists call Satori, as he sat by his mother who was dying from breast cancer. He said, "When my mother was on her deathbed, she said, 'Son, now that you know how painful this is, you have to go and help people.' And it was like a mandate. But I just thought, gosh, here's a woman taking her last breath. I don't want to romanticize her, make her some sort of martyr. But where did it come from? This idea that you have to tell your son to go and help people. I am still trying to find out all the ways that I could do that." Here, Ocean Vuong says he is trying, but he is actually living out his mother's will and taking care of 9 Vietnamese refugees. So when I read this interview, Ocean Vuong's mother and Jesus in today's gospel story somehow overlapped in my mind. A hard-working Asian woman kneeling at the pedicure chair, washing her customers' feet below their eye level, and Jesus kneeling to wash his disciples' feet the night before he died. The mandate, her final will to her son, go help people. And the commandment of Jesus, love one another. Both voices carry the depth of love and bring the ocean of divinity to the shore I stand on. And I know I also need to find all the ways to keep that commandment by letting God's love flow through me into all the chasms of separation and division, into all the fractures of discrimination and exclusion. And in this calling, a simple truth came crystal clear to me. What separates us cannot save us. What divides us has no power to revive our lives. Only what brings differences into relations, what turns stark opposition into living contrast, what weaves a common tune of humanity even through the cacophony of fear, distrust, and prejudice. This, only this, can save us. And we know what this is as the people who are called to follow the new commandment of Jesus. Faithful friends in Christ, if we cannot love beyond our skin-deep differences, if we don't try to open our hearts to one another no matter where we are from, then what's the point of our faith? If our church cannot stand in solidarity with our neighbors when they are pushed to the margins, feeling afraid and losing hope, then what's the purpose of our community? Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Just as I have loved you, just as I brought the ocean of love to your feet, just as I met you where you were, knelt before you, washed you, welcomed you, and called you friend. Love one another. Love one another more deeply than the forces of separation can divide. Love one another more fiercely than the systemic racism and power-mongering politics can harm. Love one another just as I have loved you. Today, Jesus is calling us to this way of love again, inviting us to work with him for a new day. When we stand together on the shoreline of grace, joined by others alongside us, feeling the waves of love that wash over us, heal our wounds, and embrace all of us at last into the ocean of divinity. Let us keep this vision in our hearts and stay faithful in God's love, the love that saves. Amen.